This episode of The Edge is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 180,000 titles for smartphone, tablet, and desktop. To get a free audiobook of your choice and help Trek.fm at the same time, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. And also by Enterprise in Space, an international program of the nonprofit National Space Society. Find out how you can help science and education and become a virtual crew member aboard the NSS Enterprise Orbiter by visiting enterpriseinspace.org. And if you want to join the conversation and share your thoughts on this episode, join the Babel Conference, our listeners group on Facebook. Just type B-A-B-E-L into the Facebook search field. We look forward to seeing you there.
You're listening to Trek FM.
What have you done out there on the edge of Federation space?
Are we going?
Yep.
We're going.
It's been a long road
getting from there to here. It's been a long time. But my time is finally near.
We have a little bit of a lag there.
Sorry if we're running.
Warp 5? What's going on? I'm confused. Live from the Warp 5.
We couldn't help ourselves. Sorry.
Sorry, guys. Not sorry.
Not sorry.
Oh, well, hi, everyone. This is Live from the Edge. We're here to talk about Discovery, not Enterprise, even though there is an Enterprise in Discovery. That's kind of weird. But anyway, this is the season finale of season 2 of Star Trek Discovery. And this is Such Sweet Sorrow, part 2. I'm Bruce Gibson. Thank you for joining us live. I welcome everyone in the chat joining us in YouTube, watching us, seeing Brandy. Jackala. Brandy Jackala. How are you doing?
Yes, I was planning on doing this from my office and then forgot my laptop cord, so had to leave the con earlier than planned and come all the way home, but that's fine because I'm now in my sanctuary.
Yes, that's more comfortable anyway.
It is. It really is.
And speaking of comfortable, looks like Christopher Littlefield is in his little shack feeling very comfortable.
I'm in my shack, and I am comfortable.
Now, is your shack, like, out in the middle of the woods, in the middle of nowhere?
No, it's just, it's in a three-story brownstone, second floor.
So it's not a shack.
Not a shack, no.
Speaking of shack, I went to Shake Shack the other day.
Oh, I was feeling, love Shake Shack.
Yeah, feeling really good with my shake. But see, it was weird, because I was at Star Wars Celebration. And it was Sunday night, and I went to Shake Shack, and I went to get a shake, and I said, what's your featured flavor? It's the Game of Thrones. I'm like, okay, that's weird. And they told me what it was. It didn't sound appealing to me, so I didn't get it. And then afterwards, I realized, oh, because it was the season premiere of Game of Thrones. And so that reminded me to watch it that night.
Good for you.
I wonder what it was, the flavor.
It was something like, they said it was like vanilla ice cream with chocolate syrup and mint. And there was something sprinkled on top. I don't know.
That's what I think of when I think of Game of Thrones.
Yeah. You would think it would be something bloody, too. But that was not part of it. I don't know. But we're not here about Game of Thrones. I just want to ask you, Chris, you watched the season finale, right?
I watched it twice.
Twice? So what'd you think?
I loved it. It was crazy.
I
got to watch it with Amy Nelson, actually, last night. She's visiting New York right now.
Who's Amy Nelson?
Amy Nelson's some chick that just is hanging out right now.
I'm the dark version of her.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah.
Yes, Amy does The Edge and also Postcards from The Edge. So I was hoping she was going to...
And
Earl Grey. Right. I was hoping she was going to be in your shack tonight.
I know. But she is on the Broadway watching Book of Mormon tonight.
I can understand that. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Hey, where'd my video go? It went away. Oh, there you are. Okay, and I have to apologize, everyone. I have the flu, so I'm going to struggle through this. I'm doing the best I can. But, you know, Brandy, you always put me in a good mood.
You always put me in a good mood. No, I'm going to cry.
Oh, don't make me cry. I'll probably
It's too soon.
Sorry.
All right, well, since you're crying already, how many cries this season? You're 13 to 13. Now we're at 14 episodes. Are we 14-14 or?
Of course we are. Of course we are.
Come on now, Bruce.
Of course we are. There was so much shaking and crying going on. Just even thinking about it right now, I'm getting emotional. And I was just, it was, and I had to watch it twice last night because I had FanX day one today and I knew I wouldn't have time to watch it today before we did live. And I had to take a break in between viewings because it was just so, it was wonderful and it was hard and it was beautiful and all of these things. And I thought, okay, I've got to have a little bit of time to recover before I start in again. But I am very glad that I watched it twice, of course. And probably all of season two is going to be in heavy rotation because I am just not ready to let go.
So what part did you cry at first?
Take your pick. Pretty much from the time that they're confronting Leland and he's, you know, saying that he only has like 30 ships. Dave brought me tissue. And he says, count again. And all of those drones start popping out, which I expected. And the battle begins. And I'm just like, and I'm seeing the damage happen. And I'm seeing people, you know, blown away. And I'm just like, this the whole time.
That made you cry, the ships? After he said count again?
Yeah, it's after he said count again and the drones start popping up and I'm just like, oh, they're so screwed. There's going to be so much death and there's going to be so much damage and it was just brutal. It was just brutal. And it hurt so much because every time Enterprise got hit or Discovery got hit and, you know, people were dying on the on both ships and it just was so hard. So hard.
Dang, see, I didn't have that reaction at that point.
I didn't there.
I was just more like, what? All these drones? Wait, is this Star Trek Beyond? I'm confused.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is a little much. Like, I did feel, like, I'm not panning the episode, but there's just times I thought it was a little much with all the different the different shuttles and pods and...
It looked like they were gnats, space gnats.
Yeah, like it was cool. I thought it was cool, though. But I just thought, this is very, like, something I've never seen in Star Trek before. Not that I'm opposed to seeing something new in Star Trek, but if that kind of stuff exists, they should have been using this stuff lots of times.
Yeah, well...
Like droids on the Enterprise?
Oh, yeah. Those little...
Wait, are you referring to that, too?
What were those little... the DOT 7s? The DOT 7s? They were repaired...
Is that what they were called?
Yeah, they were DOT 7s. I wrote it down today. And they're so cute. Like, I want a little little plush one that I can, like...
I want a stuffed one.
Yeah. I so do want one.
Yeah.
Those are so cool.
Oh, wait. I just looked on StarTrek.com. They're now available.
Excellent.
Are you serious?
Yeah. No, I'm kidding.
I was going to say, send me the link.
The way I felt about it is that it makes a difference in the size of screen that you're watching it on. And we were watching it on my TV, and our TV, excuse me. And all I could think about is how much, I mean, it was taking my breath away. And there was also this logical part of me that was going, oh my word, the work that went into this.
Yes.
Because they have created everything we're seeing on the screen and it's all working in tandem with each other. And the visual effects team deserves all the awards.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And Dave even turned to me at one point and he said, has there ever been fighters like this in Star Trek? And I said, not to my knowledge.
That's the most substantial battle we've ever seen on screen.
Yeah.
Or at least the most detailed.
Yeah. And I loved all of the different ships that they had retrofitted, just everything they had.
But why?
I wanted to know what they all were.
Why didn't they do that with the Borg?
Maybe they didn't have time. Maybe, I don't know.
I don't know.
Because this whole thing was classified and nobody can talk about it. I don't know. To pick a reason.
I don't know. Well, you know what? This is Starfleet. Get it done. Did you like that line?
Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
I liked it because I wrote it down.
There was one line I did not like.
Ooh. Oh, which one?
It was when number one was asking Detmer how far they needed to be How far about, yeah. And Detmer says some things that made absolute sense to me. And number one says, in English, please, I can't punch a hole through what you're saying. And I thought, rude. Oh, hell no.
I know.
No, you should be able to understand that. You're the smartest person in that room. And so that's that really bothered
too.
Me.
That did bother me too, because
that bothered me.
Yeah. Cause number one is supposed to be like really intelligent. Like if anything,
and intuitive, right?
Yeah. That conversation should have been the other way around.
Exactly. That's how I felt about it. I just thought there's no way that she wouldn't know what Detmer was saying. I knew what Detmer was saying. So,
but you know, everyone at the beginning was really kind of on edge and kind of a mess running around. Like,
true.
You know, everyone was really on edge.
On edge.
The edge. They were the edge.
They were living on the edge.
Huh?
Live from the edge.
We're live on the edge.
Oh, what about Yum Yum? What did you think about that one? Because I was like, what?
Dave hated it. It didn't really bother me because I felt like that Nan was like, okay, I can let loose now. Let's get busy.
Yum Yum. I was like, yeah, her character, we got to see another side of her.
Yeah, that's how I looked at it too. But Dave hated it, and that's fine.
It kind of turned me on.
I knew you were going to say that.
But I was sick at the time, so I wasn't in my right mind. But then again, I'm never in my right mind.
Mm-hmm. Fair.
Yum Yum. Actually, it reminds me of Ewoks. Yub Nub.
Speaking of Ewoks, I got to see Warwick Davis's panel at FanX today, and he is a delightful person.
Oh my gosh, I just saw him in Chicago.
Charming. So charming. Just tells the best stories.
He does. He's a great host.
Yes, he is.
Who is that? Sorry, who is that?
Really? He was.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
He was Wicket. He was Willow. Oh, he was Professor Flitwick. He was.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He's fantastic.
He's Yum Yum.
He is Yum Yum.
What were we talking about before that?
We were talking about the one line that I didn't like. And that
what was that again? Oh, the Yum Yum.
No, I was fine with the Yum Yum.
Number one and all that.
Yeah, number one, not knowing what Detmer was talking about.
Oh, I know what I was going to say. Well, the reason you understood Detmer more than she did is because you spent more time with Detmer, so you understand her more.
Yeah, but what she was saying was also scientific and should have been understood by number one. So.
Well, she doesn't have to see her again, so.
Why would you say it that way?
Well, I mean, she doesn't.
I know, but she just... Okay.
I liked when Giorgio said, not hard is boring, and I hate boring.
Yes!
She had a lot of great lines.
She had so many great lines.
She does, doesn't she?
Yeah.
Yeah. What?
No. I was just going to say, I really liked seeing Saru in command.
Yeah.
That was just brilliant. It was natural. It felt right.
Oh, what was it that he said? I wrote it down. Be extremely subtle, even to the point of formlessness, and mysterious, even to the point of soundlessness. I don't recall what that quote was from.
Sun Tzu.
Okay.
And the Art of War. And
right.
And then Giorgio, of course, says, I'm surprised that a Kelpian, of all people, would have studied Sun Tzu. I'm surprised that a Terran would be surprised by anything. Catty Saru! Catty Saru rules! Yeah.
Everyone was a little sassy. Everyone had little sassy moments in this episode, too.
Well, it was necessary. I mean, they were under a lot of pressure, mm-hmm. and they could have done far worse.
Pollard did, too.
Oh, sassy Pollard. Oh, yeah, because right now is the time I'm going to do everything half-assed.
They could have called this episode Such Sweet Sassiness.
Such Sweet Sassiness, part two.
Well, I have a question for Dan Gunther in the chat. He says, we got number one's name. Did I miss that?
I never heard somebody
posted that in the postcards thread, but I didn't catch it.
I didn't either, and I watched it twice. But maybe if I go back through it a third time when I can...
I don't need to go through it. Yeah. I want somebody to just tell me now in the chat.
Right. Oh, Liam says, yes, new name.
Una, when did they say that?
I missed that.
I didn't ever remember hearing
You have her. The con, Una, Beta Artemis says.
Pike calls her Una. Oh. Dang! Okay, I gotta go watch this. Wait, when does that happen?
Oh, for heaven's sake. When he's going down to help Cornwell with the torpedo.
Oh, that would make sense to do it then, yeah.
Everybody's saying yes in the chat.
Man, I missed that.
Thanks, chat.
Well, yes, thank you. This is great. I have to go check that out now.
But the thing is that in the end montage, when they're interviewing all of the people and they ask her what her name is, and she says number one.
Yeah.
She doesn't say a name. Right. She says her name is number one.
Well, maybe it's just a thing between her and Pike.
Yeah.
And to everyone else, she's number one.
Well, in the books, she is number one. It's just that she would sometimes use the nickname Una as like a name for herself. Instead of always being calling her number one, she could also be referred to as Una. So it would make sense that sometimes she's number one, sometimes maybe a little more informally, they may call her Una.
Or maybe like when he really wants to get her attention. Like when your mom like calls you by your full name.
Yeah, that's her full name.
When you're in trouble.
He's like, he has to really stretch it out. Una. Because it just doesn't
work. Oh, I'm in trouble.
Una.
It's just a word that means one.
Right.
Wow. Okay. Well, that makes my day right there. Thank you for that. I just can't believe I missed that. But then again, I'm sick. I'm just going to keep saying that. So anyway, let's talk about the torpedo, since you mentioned it. That whole thing with the torpedo, because you were saying that Una, see, I'm using it now. Una, or number one, is down there with Cornwell, and they're assessing what to do and all this stuff. And, oh, we're trying to reprogram it. We're trying to do something. It's not going to work. Da, da, da. So then Una leaves, and... See, I did it again. Number one leaves and Pike comes down and they're like, oh gosh, what do we do? Oh, we just have 90 seconds or whatever. And we get a zoom in on the manual lever to close the blast doors that will protect the rest of the ship. And the only way it can be done is if Cornwell stays behind and pulls that lever. No, Pike, you leave. I'll do this. And the first thought in my mind is, okay, I'm a better Starfleet officer than you, Admiral, because, or you, Captain Pike. Because the thing to do is just to have her pull the lever and beam her out of there. Why didn't they beam her out? See, no one has answers because that's the logical thing to do.
Well, maybe transporters were down.
It's quite probable.
That's
because there's so much damage and their shields were failing.
I accept that. But they never said that.
Well, are we going to nitpick?
Yeah, we're going to nitpick. We're trying.
There's a lot. We'll be here a while.
They could have said, you know... She could have said, Pike, I gotta stay behind and do this. Well, we'll just beam you out. No, the transports are down. You know that. Something like that.
Oh, yeah. Just a little.
Yeah. But that's
maybe
what
that's a deleted scene. It'll come out in the Blu-ray.
I'll accept it in headcanon that the transporters were down. So.
Me too. I liked that she said, whatever your path may be, you can handle it.
Yes.
I loved that.
Yes.
Because he knows what his path is going to be.
Yep.
Were you guys faked out at all before that, thinking that we were going to go into that scene?
Nope.
Amy and I both were. We were like, oh my... She looked at me, we were like, this is it.
Well, no, because that scene happened when he was at Starfleet Academy with cadets.
And he was...
Oh.
And his hair was completely silver at that point, so...
Oh, well, we were just... Yeah, we were making things up in our head.
You guys need to pay attention. Just like I picked up on
the
name
Una. It
was
in the background.
I picked up on Una. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
Pay attention.
But do you think that Cornwell, I think that she knew she was going to have to sacrifice herself well before she did.
I agree.
Like, there were a bunch of shots on her face, and she just had this look that she knew she was going to have to make a sacrifice or some kind of big decision.
Yeah. In fact, I said it to Dave the second time we were watching it. And she's ushering, Una's leaving. See, now you got me doing it. Number one's leaving. And she looks at that manual lever. But even before that, just the look on her face, I turned to Dave and I said, she knows she's going to die.
Yes, yes.
She doesn't know how yet. I mean, she doesn't know what she's going to do yet, but she knows she's going to die. Because she would, even if she hadn't been able to get the blast door down, the blast shield down, she still would have stayed there. She still would have been working on it till the very last second. Because that's just the kind of person she is.
Mm-hmm.
So.
It was really sad to see her go, though.
And she faced it head on like a power!
And her hair was blown. Oh, my God.
Just like a bad A, telling you.
When she could have just beamed out. Ooh, sad.
Transporters were down. There was too much damage.
Yeah, but the chat pointed out that they beamed Spock up.
Yeah, afterwards, but...
So they got it working again. That's it.
But If the transporters were working and could have beamed anything in and out of there, they would have done that with the torpedo.
Well, that's a good point too. Why?
But it was unstable. It was unstable, right?
Right.
It could have gone off in mid transport.
So it is possible also that they couldn't transport in and out of there because of the instability of the torpedo and the surrounding areas.
Okay, so I don't know if I got this name right. Chuppy, is that your name?
Choopy.
Hey, Choopy. I like the no inter-ship transporters thing because I've heard that. I was wondering that too. That sometimes that's an issue. But then again, I've seen, I think even in this series, they've done inter-ship transporting for medical reasons. But I don't know. I know that there's some complications to it. And maybe they could have beamed her out, but they didn't have the time to do it because of inter-ship transport. Like, they would have needed more time to get, I don't know. Anyway, we don't need to figure that out. There's a reason.
Yeah.
We don't have to know the answers to everything. There's just a reason.
The universe is under no obligation to make sense to us.
Oh, good one.
Thank you.
Nicely played.
There you go. Oh, my. So, what else happened? Was there anything else in this episode that occurred?
No.
Okay, I want to talk about Hugh, Culber, and Stamets. Because this was my big cry moment.
There was so much crying for me, too.
I knew he was going to choose to come back. I think I was talking about it last week after last week's episode. Remember that scene where Pike was saying, let's make sure that everyone who wants to go to the Enterprise is on the Enterprise and anyone who wants to stay, stayed. And I, in my head, canon, in that moment, that's when Hugh made the decision, I can't leave Stamets because he's home. He's family.
Yes. I'm glad. Yes. I'm glad he made that decision.
Me too.
And he made that decision before Stamets got hurt, so it's not about him being injured. It's about him coming to that realization before that, and I appreciate that.
Oh, that just gave me goosebumps. I love that.
I was crying so hard.
He says, you're my home, so I came back. Everything, I'm abbreviating, everything always came back around to you. I'm your family. Wherever we go from here, we go together.
Yes.
And it, oh my God.
It's sad that Stamets is now going to die.
Shut your mouth. Do not make me get on a plane and come over there.
You are not the only person that has said that or wants that to happen.
Oh, I don't want it to happen, though. But
I don't either.
No.
Liam wants it to happen.
No. No. Liam, bad. Bad. Bad Liam. I love you, Liam. Just kidding. Yeah, there was sobbing going on there. As well.
I was like this the whole time. I was listening like this. Clutching the pearls.
Yep. That was me too. It's just most of it was just my hands at my face doing this and just shaking, my entire body shaking through pretty much the whole episode.
Yeah. I mean, I had my pearls on. I wasn't clutching them, but I was wearing pearls.
Just the pearls.
Just the pearls. That's all I was wearing.
Oh, why did you do that? Now I have that image in my head, guys. Why?
No, I didn't do that.
Why would you do that?
But that does sound fun.
The party.
I can't look at Bruce for a while.
Don't make me laugh too hard. Okay.
Okay.
I don't want to cough up a lung.
No, we don't want that either.
I got my cough drops here, so in case I need them. Hey, so let's talk about two other characters, Nan and Giorgio fighting Leland. And then they had the gravity failure going on. You know what? I like watching Giorgio fight Leland.
Yeah.
But at this point I was like, all right, I've seen her beat him up, them beat each other up a few times already. I've like kind of had enough of that. I don't know. But the whole gravity thing was kind of cool.
Yeah, they had to make it different this time.
Yeah, it was very like Fred Astaire type thing.
It was so well done though.
Fred Astaire.
Yeah, there was
it was well choreographed.
It was extremely well choreographed, but it was also very smooth. Whenever they rotated that gimbal, you could not tell. It was just so smooth and so well done that your brain started to believe, oh yeah, the gravity screwed up.
And when the two officers got sucked out.
Oh, that I'm just like, no!
Yeah, I gasped loudly.
I didn't gasp, I shouted. I went, ah!
You didn't notice it was Culber.
It was Stamets and Culber.
There's both of them. They're gone. Yeah. Poor Brandy.
Yeah, I'm fine.
You're fine. Okay.
She's tough.
She is tough. She could take on Leland anytime.
Yeah. Okay,
so I have to ask this.
I believe it.
I have to ask this. So Leland, okay, and I kind of briefly talked about this, the Trekkie girls online today, so I kind of got some information from them. But, so Leland is on Discovery. They're trying to get Discovery through the wormhole into the future because they have to get away from Control, who is Leland. But Leland's on Discovery. Mm-hmm. So taking Leland into the future with them doesn't take the data away from him, the spore data. I mean, that, you know what I'm saying?
But he's dead now.
Well, okay, and then he died. But they were in the process of going through towards the wormhole with him on the ship. And then Georgia is like, he's dead. He's gone. I got him. I kicked his butt. And they're like, okay. And they just keep going.
We're still going.
Yeah. It's like, why even keep going? He's dead.
So I think that he was like the physical manifestation of Control, but it still existed somewhere. And it could have very easily turned someone else, taken over someone else. But without the sphere data, it can no longer progress.
Agreed.
And evolve.
There's still a possibility.
They said Control was neutralized. It doesn't mean it was completely eliminated at the moment.
Yeah. Right. Neutralized doesn't mean dead. Leland's dead.
Right.
But that doesn't mean Control is dead.
Well, Leland's been dead.
Well, like, yeah, he died when he got injected with all that stuff.
Right.
With all the replicators. I mean, with all the whatever they are.
The nanites?
Mm-hmm.
The replicators?
We had this discussion on a previous episode. They they very much reminded me of the replicators from Stargate SG-1.
Oh. So.
Nerd.
No, I agree with you guys on exactly what you're saying. Because I think Control is Leland, or that's one piece of Control. But even though Leland's gone, Control's still out there.
Yeah, it's like killing the Borg Queen.
Right, the Borg still exist.
Right.
Yeah. So and now they have another to
and they can make a new queen.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
and Chupi brings up a good point. Spock said it was to keep the loop from happening again, and that was the thing. Michael said that she had to close the loop. So
it had to go.
It had to go.
Chupi. I like saying that name. Yeah.
Chupi.
Oh. Okay. Good. Well, I like those answers. I can live with that.
That's what we're here for. To create answers that you can live with.
Good.
I liked Georgia's giggling. I didn't notice the first time,
oh, yeah.
But the second time,
yes.
When she was giggling like an evil schoolgirl.
Yes.
It was like, it was so creepy, but so cute at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she was so good. She knew exactly what she was doing. She baited mm-hmm. him and led him all the way to the spore drive. She was always going to get him there. That's why she mm-hmm. wanted Saru to invite him on board. She wanted that revenge, and she already had it all planned out. And him saying that her algorithm was the easiest to predict, sucks to be you, Control. Not so predictable. She knew that, and she just went with what he thought would be, or what it thought would be predictable, and then turned the tables.
I see. I wish I had Jan Jackson's Control queued up, because I want to play that right now.
Control.
Stop. Now that's going to be in my head.
Yes.
That's okay. That's okay.
Okay. What else happened? Oh, the Klingon Cleave ship showed up.
Oh.
That thing was massive.
Yes.
That was a huge ship.
I loved it.
Yeah.
So much.
What the heck is on
that? This is Laurel's most badass moment ever.
Mm-hmm.
What the heck was that with that ship? What the who's on that thing?
Everybody.
You could put everybody in Cronus on that
thing.
Well,
Glenn Hetrick was on it, the makeup effects and creature supervisor for the show. He played Kavat, the Klingon that was to the left of Laurel.
Oh, nice! Really?
Yeah, cool, right?
Yeah,
nice.
That's cool.
He was in the credits.
Absolutely. And is this is the fun... I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I'm just saying he there was a Klingon that I thought looked more like the Klingons were used to.
That was him.
Okay.
Yeah, that was him.
Yeah.
And is this the first time we got Today is a Good Day to Die in this series?
I do believe so.
Is it?
I could be wrong.
Someone in the chat will tell us if we're
Someone
wrong.
In the chat.
Yeah.
Waiting for the I chat. Oh, they're not listening to us. They're talking about something else.
Yeah, they're behind. They're having their own show in the chat.
See, the thing is, when you do a live show, there's a slight delay in case we have to edit some bad words
out. That's right.
No,
even though we don't know how to do that.
That is totally not true. I mean, there is a delay, but that's not why.
That's what they do on Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Well, they've got like a 5 or 10 second delay or something.
They do that on all award shows too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Choopy again says, pretty sure it was the first. Zamboni Josiah, I think this is the first time. Dan Gunther agrees.
Okay, it's...
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan. Nice to see you here. Nice to see everyone here. So,
yes.
Yeah.
It's good to be here tonight.
It is.
It is good to be here. And it's Good Friday to those who...
It is Good Friday.
Wish you a Good Friday.
Yes. So, but yeah, Klingons, loved when they showed up, when they were saying that there was a massive energy surge. I'm like, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please, oh, please. We really need a miracle right now. And there it is! And I start sobbing.
And then...
Did it remind you when the ship decloaked? Did it remind you in season one when the Europa, when it went through the Europa and tore it apart?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Two? One? Two?
I don't remember. They run together.
Well, they should have just been one episode, but yeah.
Yeah.
I think it was two.
Two.
Yeah.
I heard somebody say why in one of the threads earlier, why was Tyler on the bridge if all the Klingons thought that he's dead because she held up his head and baby head?
Well,
oh my gosh, I didn't think about that. Yes.
Maybe it's a Section 31 thing. Maybe only the bridge crew knew that he was there, and they were all sworn to secrecy or death.
Yeah, they were interviewed also by the Klingon.
Exactly. A Klingon admiral interviewed them when they got back to Kronos. And
Oh, maybe like because like the Klingons there are really devoted to Laurel, they're going to protect her. And they know, but nobody else knows.
Yeah.
Or something.
That's what I'm going with.
Maybe she's just like, I can't keep a secret to myself, so I only tell my closest friends that my boyfriend really didn't die, even though he's not my boyfriend because he likes this other girl. But it's really cool now because we just saw his girlfriend go into the future, so he's now available again. And I'm not sure if he'll go for me or not, but I have a chance.
She's like, oh my God, you guys. I can't keep this any longer. I have to tell you. I have to tell somebody. It's killing me.
And she said,
"Don't
just
tell
like
anybody."
Wait, say it more Klingon, like how she would say it.
Brandy does the voices here.
No, 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 no. I'm not even attempting, Laurel. No.
I can't.
I could try.
Tyler, come to me. I can't do it. All right.
No, she speaks lower like this.
Tyler. Oh wait.
No.
Sorry, Brandy?
She speaks lower like this.
Lower.
I don't have the teeth, so I can't make the same sounds.
Like I want Tyler to be mine.
I have a secret, and it's been killing me. Shh, don't tell anyone.
Guys, come closer. I'm not going to say it twice. Guess
Do we
what?
Sound remotely Klingon at all?
Probably
I don't
not.
Know what we sound like.
Yeah, sorry.
Hey, we saw some D7 show up too.
Yeah. That was sweet. Made me super happy.
Super cool.
And we saw other fighters show up.
Yeah.
The Ba'u fighters.
Right?
We saw Saru's sister there.
Serana. Yep.
Serana was there.
I was like, what?
That kind of bothered me.
Loved it.
So they learned how to pilot the Ba'ul ships.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that was just pretty much what Saru says. He's like, Serana, you have learned to pilot a ship.
He's like, oh, hey, what are you doing
over
here?
That was the thing. He was just so gobsmacked. He had no idea what else to say. Hugh, wow, hasn't been that long since I saw you last, and You learned to pilot a shuttle in that time? It's kind of crazy.
And so did Tyler call them too?
Yeah, because she said that, she says one of your crewmates contacted us. And So I'm assuming that was Ash. So.
Yeah, so all you Ash haters out, all you Tyler haters out there, kind of saved the day there.
Yeah, he turned the tide. They would have, I don't think they would have succeeded had the Klingons and the Kelpians not showed up. I think they would have all, I think both ships would have been destroyed before they could make, before Discovery could make the jump. So.
Oh, and I liked how they referred to them as the Warriors of Kaminar.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That was cool.
Liked it.
I'm not going to repeat what Brandy's husband put in the chat.
But what did you do, Dave?
Oh.
Wait, what was I going to say?
That's funny.
Oh. Brandy can't seem to find it. Brandy, do you see it? It's the last thing you said.
Can I say it? Can I say
it? If you want to say it, I'm not saying it.
So the people, I won't get in trouble. It's not a bad word.
No, it's not a bad word.
So I was referring to the Tyler haters out there, and there was a comment in the chat. Two words. Ash, A-S-H, holes. That's the comment. I don't know what he means
I know what that means. That's like somebody who smokes and they get, like their cigarette buds, like their ashes get on their sheets and put a little hole in the sheets. Those are called ash holes.
Yeah. I don't know why he's talking about that, but
yeah. I don't know either.
Because Tyler haters, that's what they're called.
Does Dave smoke? He doesn't smoke, does he?
No.
Okay. I don't know why he's talking about that. Anyway, so Queen Poe is here too. With her, no ice cream on this episode.
Oh, no, she was all business up in there.
Yes, she was flying a shuttlecraft and attacking drones.
Yeah, I love Pike going, Your Highness, no one gave you permission to be flying a shuttle. And she just immediately invokes diplomatic immunity. Just like, yep.
I always want to call her Mechaleka High, Mecha Hiney Poe. Like Pee-wee's Playhouse, because I can't ever remember the first part.
But that's what it does sound like, doesn't it? I wish you could do the
Mecha-leka hi, Mecha-chani po.
I wish you could do the Pee-wee Herman voice.
I think we have our first vote.
I can't,
Brandy. Wait, Chris Tribuzio said CDL just went Beyonce. Tribs, I don't know what that means, but I love it. I totally.
Yep, you win points.
Queen Bey.
Mm-hmm.
Queen Bey, whatever.
I think that's the first time we had Beyonce referred to in Live from the Edge.
Do you think she's in the chat? Oh my God.
Because
she just dropped that new album.
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, please. No, I'm just kidding.
She wants
Give
to
it
promote
up for the queen.
Right here on Live from the Edge.
Yeah, because
she knows her audience.
She
does.
Knows that we promote things here on the show, like literary treks. It's your official Star Trek books and comics podcast.
He made you wait 37 minutes, but we got there, folks. Have a drink.
Oh, boy. Let's see. One other thing I wanted to mention. Oh, the time jump. I kind of like the whole time jump thing with Burnham and the effects with that. How there was like silence and then there's like these lights and she's screaming and the whole effects.
Very 2001.
Yeah.
I thought the same thing. And I also thought, remember when she first jumps for the first signal, mm-hmm. which is to get Reno, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is that the first one?
Yes.
And yeah, because that's from Brother.
Yep.
And the little line appeared across the middle. It reminded me of the Great Barrier.
Ooh.
Yes.
In
Star Trek V or
going to Shakari.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, I thought the whole effects of that were cool. And then when she sees herself and now we see, you know, that she is the angel and then she's pulled back and then she shows herself to Saru and is pulled back. It's like we're going back to those scenes and we're seeing her now, her full self in those mm-hmm. moments as opposed to just this blurry image of an angel where we're going like, what is that? Is it a preserver or whatever?
Oh.
Remember all those theories?
That was my big theory. It hasn't come to fruition yet, but I'm holding out for season 3. I talked about that on the main show with Amy.
Yeah, I had...
Nobody was with me.
I was saying the Iconians, and then I dropped that when I figured out it had to be some kind of humanoid. So, mm-hmm. And when I finally settled on Michael, I was right and I was wrong. So...
Yeah.
I was right for some
Dan
of it.
Dan Gunther's talking about the when she goes through that time bubble thing, and then the backside of it looks two dimensional.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
like we're actually traveling through with her and getting that perspective. That was so awesome.
Yes, it also reminded me of something I saw in season 3 of The Expanse, but that is not a detriment to it whatsoever.
I haven't made it to season 3 yet. I'm in the middle of 2.
So good.
I need to get through. Everyone says get through season 2, and then I'll be okay.
What? Like seasons 1 and 2 are bad? What the H?
I don't know. Hey, I'm not here to... I'm just... I got busy.
It's fine. No, it's just... That's just surprising. This gets through season 2 and you'll be okay. What does that mean?
I don't know.
Hmm.
I mean, I stopped watching, so maybe I just gotta push through.
And then it'll be okay.
And then it'll be okay.
Yeah, it will. It will. Because season 3 is a corker. So,
a what?
A corker. It's an old-timey saying.
What does it mean?
I have no idea.
It's a corker, you see.
Yeah. Yeah, it's this party. It's going to be a corker, you know?
It is a
corker. It's
going to
be a total corker.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, I have no idea what it means. It's I just a know that it's something that's quark. Just really...
Oh, brother.
Oh, a quarker. A quarker.
A quarker.
Oh, like the Ferengi are in The Expanse. Got it.
Mookie. Sure, let's go with that. I like it.
So what'd you think of Burnham's speech to Spock? Tell him about there's a full galaxy to explore and people will reach for him and let them guide you. What'd you think of that?
Sobbing.
Yeah.
Do you think he was,
I mean, clearly.
Does that leaning towards Spock's relationship with Kirk, maybe? Is it like,
yes.
Maybe?
Alex Kurtzman said that in an interview.
Mm-hmm.
He said she's obviously talking about Kirk. Spock takes that advice and she'll never know it.
Because mm-hmm. I'm sure that he had a difficult time letting Pike go. So, because he and Pike were close. And so to have Pike moving on to something else and then a new person commanding the Enterprise, that can't have been easy for him. But... Yeah. He reached for that person that seemed farthest away.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
My favorite Spock line of the whole episode was in order for us to move forward, you must go back. As when Spock said it, he said it, I think, when he was sitting pretty there in the shuttle for like half the episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I just thought that really hit me the second time because I thought about like, And this has to do with Burnham and their past and her past and everybody's past. And like, in order to move forward, you have to deal with all the things in the past. I kind of took it in a different way, you know?
Yeah, he meant literally, but it can be seen different ways. And I agree. You have to face the past, deal with the past before you can move forward. Because otherwise you carry it with you on every
other
journey.
Me. Mm-hmm. Or else you're just stuck and you can't move forward.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Like Michael was. And I love how he's trying to say it to her and she says, not now, Spock. And he says, yes, now. Precisely now.
Yeah.
I loved everything he said.
And we heard, I love you in Vulcan for the first time, right? Ever?
Yeah. And I said, I thought, please let that be, I love you in Vulcan. And then she says, I love you too, brother. And I'm like, thank you.
Yeah.
I needed that.
Yeah, we needed to hear that.
Yeah.
We did.
So maybe she wasn't talking about Kirk because Adamea Joy said it could have been Gracie, the whale that he reached for.
Well, yeah, that is pretty far away.
Maybe it was Cybok.
Yeah.
They are not the hell your whales.
Hell, they're not. Okay, so.
Whatever it was.
They get sucked into the wormhole. They're gone. Peace. Live life long, whatever. So now we're on the we talked a little bit about the officers being interviewed, and then we're on the bridge of the Enterprise, and we see Spock. Hey, he's wearing blue, and he's shaven. Yeah. What'd you think of the Spock look?
I'll take him any way I can get him.
Oh.
Yep. I was happy regardless. I do miss the beard. I really did love the beard.
I like the beard a lot.
I agree with you. I think the beard looked better on him.
Did you see my shirt?
Yeah, look at that.
Yeah, I have one of those too. Yep, it's...
I had to show the chat. I knew you knew that I had it.
Yeah. Well, it's... I thought... I was watching him stand there with his hands behind his back, and I'm like crying because he reminded me so much of a young Leonard Nimoy in that moment. And I just thought, I don't know if anyone could have ever done it as well as he did. He was just, he embodied the character in a way that I have never felt happen in any other actor that has portrayed the character. And so in that moment, I was just like, yeah. You are Spock. You are. It was just totally believable for me. And it's so hard.
I think he needs a lot more credit.
He needs so much credit, you guys. He is absolutely brilliant. Every single thing he did this season was magic and perfect and made me believe that my favorite character of the original series was alive and well. And I was getting to see this unknown chapter of his life. It was perfect, and he was brilliant, mm-hmm. And anyone who undervalues that can just bite me.
And the journey he went on to get to where we first met him,
yeah.
Well, no, because that was the cage, but where we first met him in, you know, TOS, it was just like, there he is.
Yeah.
There he is now. This is the beginning of how we knew him originally.
Yes. It was just so good. And it's so hard for me because, you know, we spent a whole season with Pike. We spent a good half a season with Spock. And mm-hmm. I am not done. I don't know how I'm supposed to let them go. I really don't.
Yeah. Well, Kurtzman also said that anything's possible in Trek, and he's paying attention that the fans are wanting a pre-Kirk Enterprise series.
Yes, please do it.
But this was also a beautiful send-off to everybody. Like, everyone just, you know, with Pike saying goodbye, my friends, mm-hmm. my family, and then the last scenes on the ship were, I think it was, if this is all we get, it was a beautiful way to say goodbye.
I agree.
Yeah. Discovery could end right now.
Right.
But it doesn't.
It doesn't.
Season 3.
We do have a season 3 coming. But it really could end. This would be a perfect note to end it on. But thankfully, yes. We don't have to end it. So,
yes.
So I kind of, after last night and then watching again today, I kind of see now, like, now Discovery's beginning. Like, season 1 and season 2 were like this huge prologue. And it gave us time to get to know everybody a little bit, some more than others. And now we know who they are, what they gave up. And now that everything's going to change now, the stakes are going to be higher. And now we have a little bit more information about them so that we care about them more now. And now it's just all going to take off in a totally different direction.
So season 3 is this small crew aboard the Discovery 900 some years later.
930 right? years
950.
From... 950. Yeah. Well, 930 because it was 950 years from when her mother made her first jump. And they went 930 years into the future because it had been 20 years since that happened.
Amy would be so proud at your maths.
Well, yes. Michael says it in the episode, too, when she's talking about setting the course for the future.
Sorry.
That's she's okay.
She's like,
I'm just saying, yes, I can do math, which I had done before, but it wasn't just that. It was said in the episode, too. I'm not going to just act like a genius.
Yeah, she said something like, 930 something something star dates.
Oh, Lord. Could you imagine if Anthony just started?
I would love it.
So someone, I was talking to someone one a little while ago, and they were saying, we really want a musical episode. Oh, you know what it was? Amy and I went to this event that LeVar Burton was hosting.
Yeah.
Two nights ago.
The Stories.
Yeah, it's LeVar Burton and Friends, and it was at Symphony Space in Manhattan. And there's actually a theater in that space that's named after Leonard Nimoy. And a bunch of the gays in space people were there. And we had a conversation. We all hung out afterwards. And one of the gals was saying, I really want a musical episode of Discovery. And I was kind of like, no.
Well,
I don't want to do that. Unless it makes sense.
Well, yeah, you know? It would have to make sense. Yeah. I don't know how. It'd have to be something like aliens.
So she had an explanation for it, though.
Okay.
She said, okay, let's say that they're putting on a musical, like on a school play or something like that. And because of all the different languages, they have to program the universal translator to translate all of the songs in different languages. And somehow that program escapes into the computer and then gets screwy.
Okay.
I mean, I don't really buy it, but
that could be. Well, Dan, I know you're in the chat. When we read the book, How Much for Just the Planet, I think there was and this is kind of a fun book. It's a TOS book, but they beam down to a planet. And I think there's this one part where they actually have to do kind of act down a musical because there's like this group that sings songs to tell stories about things. And so they had to sing too. I don't know if it's that book or not, but I remember reading something somewhere where it was almost kind of like a musical where the crew had to sing stories to these people on the planet because that's how they communicated.
Well, that could be true because a race like that is also referenced in The Way to the Stars. Because Tilly, when she has to do her presentation at school where she picks a culture and she made the costume and basically they sang like quadratic equations was their way of communicating. And so she had to do a presentation in that language. So she was singing. So there are species in Trek that do that.
Did you, Bruce, talk about those books on literary treks?
Yes. We did talk about.
Okay.
The books, yeah, The Way to the Stars and How Much for Just the Planet, which Dan confirmed, yes, there's like a musical version or something like that. And yes, it was on Literary Treks. Yes, yes. Official books, Star Trek books and comics podcasts of Trek FM. Shot, yes.
Oh, can we talk about, speaking of music, can we talk about the end credits music?
Oh, yes!
Yes, I had that written down. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yes.
Holy cow.
Mm-hmm. Crying all through it, you guys.
Now, if anybody hasn't listened, go back and listen to the end credits, and this is why.
You gotta listen to the credits.
Tell them why.
You know, we got the original series theme, the Alexander Courage theme, at the end of season one, once we saw the Enterprise. During the credits of this finale of season two, it was the Discovery theme with the original series theme over it as counterpoint. So a part of the Discovery theme would play, and then a part of the TOS theme would play. And it went back and forth in counterpoint. And then at one point, we got the female vocal in there, too. It was just brilliant arranging and orchestrating.
Mm-hmm.
It was, oh my gosh, I have to look at, I mean.
It was perfect.
I have to look at, yeah, it was.
Taking things that were composed decades apart is just, oh.
It was the musical expression of this season.
Agree. That's a beautiful way to put it. And
well, thank you.
And actually, the music through this entire episode, every time Burnham was using the suit or about to use the suit, there were these voices. There was a choir. So, you know, because angel. So every time she was being the Red Angel, there was all of this singing, you know, it wasn't singing as in actual words, but it was.
Yeah.
And it was just, it got to the point where I was listening for it because I wanted to see if it happened every time she was making a jump or every time she was doing something having to do with time travel. But even before that, even before when she's actually in the suit, but not using it yet, like when she runs out of the shuttle bay and, well, that sequence, oh, when they're trying to get her to far enough from the battle so that she can make the jump.
I didn't pick up on that, but this is one of those episodes that would be really good to listen to without watching, mm-hmm. because it's so visually stimulating and so much that
yeah.
there's so much more that we would just pick up and grok if we were just listening to it.
Well, I always notice when there are vocals in a score because mm-hmm. it's unusual. Unless it has...
And it can't be distracting. Like, they have to make it so that it yeah. supports what's going on without...
And it does.
...us trying to listen to the voices.
It does. But and I noticed it the first time, not in a bad way. I just thought, oh, that's pretty. Oh, I like that. It's giving it this sort of melancholy, ethereal sound. And then I thought, the second time through, I thought, I'm going to pay more attention and see if this happens every time it's her doing Red Angel stuff. So...
Oh, that's so cool. I've got to listen for that.
I really just enjoyed the entire score from start to finish.
So I bought the soundtracks, the two soundtracks from season one. I hope they do the same with season two.
Agree.
I've listened to those a lot.
Yeah.
I used to actually, when I was reading the first Discovery book, I would listen to the season one soundtrack while I was reading because it kind of helped put me in that world a little more.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Oh, music is so transformative sometimes. Well, most of the time. All the time for me. So,
yeah, same.
Yeah.
I wanted to say something random about since we were talking about the Red Angel. Liam mentioned earlier that to him, especially towards the end when she was flying towards the wormhole, that it looked more like a phoenix to him than an angel, which I thought kind of also made sense because a phoenix rises from the ashes. Mm. Which is basically her story, too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Burnham's story, too.
You're right. It does look more like a phoenix. And it's very poetic to what you're just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she had to send the sixth signal so Discovery could find them. Mm-hmm. Find her.
And then the seventh to say, Spock, hey, I made it.
But does she know if Spock saw it? She doesn't know if Spock saw the signal, though.
She knows.
She'll never know.
She knows. She believes, just like he believed, that she made it. She believes that he saw it. Gosh, you guys.
But now, Georgiou is on the Discovery, and she's got a show to do.
Oh, yeah. How does she get back to do a show?
We don't know.
I guess we'll see.
Tyler maybe has something to do with it, and more timey-wimey stuff.
Yep.
Or maybe the show takes place prior to season two. It takes place between season one and season two.
But then they would be bringing Leland back.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure.
Yeah. I don't know.
But didn't they just... Okay, well, let's talk about that at the end. Because didn't they say Section 31? They didn't disband it necessarily, but...
No, but they made Ash basically the director...
Yeah, he's no longer acting command. He's command.
Right. He's in command.
Right?
But they're trying to have more control over Section 31.
Control.
And control has been eliminated.
Yeah, because they did say they purged control completely.
Right.
So they're not using that system at all anymore.
So they think.
Well, if it tries to come back, it still has no sphere data defined. So.
That's right. Right. And I believe it's still there because And I know they're not necessarily connected, but in the novels, control's around in the 24th century. So in my head canon, it's still around. They just don't know it. Or maybe they do know it, and they're just not telling anyone.
Maybe control gets reset and is less of a jerk.
Yes, that could be.
One can hope.
Hey, did you think it was weird that we didn't see the Admiral's face at all?
Yes.
When he was interviewing them?
Yes, I thought it was really weird.
Yeah, and it was almost a little spooky, and I had a couple different thoughts. Like, first of all, I want to know if it was somebody significant, because there was no name in the credits, either on IMDb or in the actual credit roll, of who it was, the actor was.
Hmm. I don't know.
So was it somebody,
They seemed familiar to me for some reason.
I didn't know if it was, one of the writers or the director,
or like one of the like Roddenberry's son or something. I don't know. This is pure speculation.
Yeah, I don't know who it was, and I don't know why they didn't show the face. I'm sure we'll find out someday, even if nobody knows right now or nobody's telling right now. But I thought that was really weird because I thought at some point we're going to see their face.
And my other kind of more meta idea was that maybe he's the representation of our fandom up until Discovery, not knowing all of this other stuff. So we had part of our faces have been covered for a long time because we didn't know all of this history because it's been classified.
Yeah, take that, all the people that are like, well, why didn't anyone ever know about the Spore Drive or Discovery or whatever? Because that would be Starfleet Regulation 157, Section 3. That's why.
Oh, that's why. That's it.
Yeah. I had it written down in my notes in my special journal.
You know, do you remember?
Oh, I have the same thing.
You do?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I added something in the back of mine.
Oh,
wow. We have the two different Spocks.
Yeah, this came with the book. This I
like
how
you're caressing his beard.
Because I love that beard.
That's nice.
I miss your beard.
Hey, do you remember the show, the sitcom Home Improvement?
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
Okay. His the next door neighbor Wilson, I think his name was.
Yeah, only saw him from the eyes up, usually.
I think he's that admiral.
Admiral Wilson.
Except sadly, that guy is no longer with us.
Well, it's a different actor playing Wilson.
Okay, that's fine.
Admiral Wilson. That's what I'm referring to him as, because just like on Home Improvement, you never saw his full face. We didn't see his full face, so he's Admiral Wilson until we're told otherwise.
Well, the funny thing is that we had like the opposite effect, though. We saw him from here down.
That's true. Mm-hmm. You know, they could have done the Charlie Brown kind of thing and not show him at all. Just have that. But then their answers wouldn't have made sense. We're like, what are they answering? I don't know why are they saying no? Yes, no, because we just hear wah, 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 wah. We don't know the question. Mm-hmm. We'd have to have subtitles.
Yeah.
The universal translator was malfunctioning, maybe.
Yes.
I don't know.
So Brandy, Spock, when you saw Spock, you said, you know, him having his, you know, hands clasped behind his back like that. Did mm-hmm. you look at his butt in that uniform?
I wasn't thinking about his butt at all.
Okay. I didn't ask you, Chris.
Well, you know I was.
So. No, I wasn't thinking afterwards I was thinking about everything. But I was not thinking about his butt at that time.
I just had to verify if we had good Spock butt in this episode. Because Chris is saying yes.
Well,
let the record show I'm not the one that brought it up.
Oh, well, there you go.
It was Bruce.
Yeah.
Yes. Well.
Yeah. He's a nicely formed human being.
Yeah,
that Ethan Peck.
Okay. Is there anything else? I think we've basically covered it. So I just will ask your overall final thoughts, not just on this episode, but the season, Chris. What do you think?
Oh, wow. It was a lot. It was really overwhelming. It was a really big ride. I need to watch it all again because it was so much to ingest without a break in the middle. But I loved it. I loved every moment of it. And I've been critical of some moments, but I thought it was beautifully done. And it just set up such a nice jump to wherever we're going. It was gorgeous. I loved it.
Yes.
I don't know what else to say. I'm a little overwhelmed at the moment. So
I'm with you on that. What do you think, Brandy?
Yeah.
I think you agree.
You know what I think, you guys. It's so hard for me to say goodbye.
Saying goodbye. You can always go back.
I know that, but it's, you know, I'm not going to get more of that season. This season for me was just so great. I just had, it moved me. Every single episode made me cry in one way or another. Because as regular viewers know, I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm sad. I cry when mm-hmm. I'm excited. I cry when I'm angry. I cry when something is just so beautiful, it takes my breath away. So every single episode had at least one moment that did that. And I cannot say that about any other series I have ever seen. That is something actually quite remarkable. Because, yes, I am a very emotional person, but I've never had a show touch me on an emotional level like this season of Discovery has. It caused this reaction every single week. And that is something to be impressed with, because yes, I am an emotional person, but that doesn't mean I'm always going to cry at everything, that it moved me to tears every single time. And just most of it, I mean, the most I cried was in the season finale. And I thought some earlier episodes were the most that I would cry, but no, that season finale was just, it's still really hard. I'm still dealing with it. It's kind of like we've gotten to know these new characters, well, interpretations of a very well-known character and an interpretation of a character we didn't know very much about and wanted to know more about. And now it's just, you know, now that's all we have until maybe later, hopefully. Mm-hmm. But it's like having to say goodbye to a friend and having to let them go on to do other things. And that's just so hard. I'm like, no, you need to stay with me, please. It was such a ride. It was amazing. And there's nothing else like it that I've ever seen. I have no complaints.
Wow.
What about you, Bruce?
I hated the whole thing.
Yeah. I knew you were going to do that.
You're such an ash.
I'm such an ash.
Oh.
Now, I love this season. I loved it. I liked it better than season one. I think it flowed better than season one. I felt like there was more of a storyline planned out, where season one felt a little clunky at times to me. But this worked really well. It had a lot of great sci-fi to it. I liked visiting different places. We went to different planets and such. We revisited, you know, just seeing the Enterprise bridge and a new Enterprise, the reimagining of the Enterprise and Pike and Number One and crew and all that. I mean, just there's so many like fan things in there that just made me go crazy, but also bringing new things in and getting to know these characters more. And yeah, I really enjoyed this season. The finale was a great action-packed finale with emotion and everything that tied everything up. And I'm looking forward to rewatching the whole season now that I know where the story goes and seeing what my impression is on that. So yeah, great season. I'm looking forward to another season. I'm looking forward to new Star Trek series that are coming out on CBS All Access. And then also, because the chat has been demanding it, and they've demanded
yes,
it.
Yes, we have to. They said about earlier. I can't believe I forgot.
Jet Reno. And also Tilly. We need to throw Tilly in there. So, yes.
Oh, I know.
Thoughts on those two.
Thank God we get Jet Reno on the Discovery.
Yes.
Thank God.
Yes.
Yes. I will always be happy for more Tig Notaro in any way I can have her.
What did she say to Saru?
She said,
get
she
off
said,
our ass!
Sir.
I mean, sir! Get off our ass, sir!
Get off my ass, sir!
We didn't have a whole lot of Tilly in this episode, which surprised me.
We did, actually.
We owe her a beer.
Yeah, we totally owe her a beer. If it weren't for her, Discovery would have broken up before getting to the other side of that wormhole.
Yeah.
I love the fact that she was the one who did it. She shouldn't be able to know how to do it, but she did it once blindfolded for a drinking game.
For a drinking game.
That's right.
And I just love that. But I mean, it was she who, with Nilsen, got Stamets to sick bay, and she did not want,
she
didn't want to leave him. She was so upset. Yeah. She was so upset. And yet she's like, okay, I have to help. I have to do this. And just,
That's a command decision.
Exactly.
Right there.
Exactly. Because when Stamets got hurt, she was just no. It was like she just could not. That was just one more thing she just could not deal with. Please do not take anyone else from me. Yeah. So
yeah,
and yeah, she just basically buckled down and got things done. Women in this entire episode getting stuff done.
Mm-hmm.
So yep. It made me happy.
As usual.
As usual. And the men were just sitting back and watching.
I did not say that. It was just nice to see a measure of equality in.
Oh, I'm on all for that. Yeah.
So, yeah. And the thing is, when they got him into sickbay, I could see Culber. And I'm just like, wait, what? That's Culber. Yeah. I know that hair.
I know, I saw him too.
I know that hair. And I'm like,
but we saw just the back of him first, right?
Yeah, just saw the back of him. And then you kind of see a little bit like a three quarters back of him sort of thing. And I just thought, oh, turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around, turn around. So yeah, but yeah, I love Jet Reno. Glad that we're going to have more of her. And of course, you know, Tilly, my girl. Love Tilly to the end of time.
Yes. So. I just wish Poe would have got back on the ship quick enough, because I want Poe to go with him.
Yeah, that would have been fun too. But
for all we know, she did. We just don't know it.
Could be she's stowing away.
Yep. All right, so Chat, what are your ratings on the season? We'll just say the season, not just the last episode, but what are your rankings for the season? So I think we pretty much gave our rank. We didn't give a ranking necessarily, but if you had to, would you, for the season, Chris, what would you give?
I can't even like the ranking system, so I would just say it's a 100%.
Yeah.
I can't think of, you know.
I'll give it that too, 100%.
Yeah.
Brandy, 100%?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Yeah.
Meaning it couldn't get any better. Well, no, it could. I'll give it a 99%. Nothing's perfect.
Yeah.
99.9 repeating.
I honestly rank stuff really high that I love, and I don't care what anyone else thinks, because something isn't beautiful and wonderful because it's perfect. So perfection doesn't really exist, but I am perfectly happy to give it a perfect 100% for me. Yeah. So.
And there's perfection in imperfection.
Exactly.
Too, you know.
Oh, that's what my wife always says about me.
Yay! You have a nice
you're perfectly
wife.
Imperfect.
I see a lot of high scores in here. So, like, there's a couple of 12 out of 10s. There's a 4 out of 5 and 10s and 5 out of 5s, 96 out of 100. There's a 7.
96 out of 100 AI sausages.
Yeah, AI sausages. I liked that. And I especially liked it. Ew. It was, yeah.
Everyone likes it.
So, you know, Brandy, you were saying about Spock earlier, and you showed us your little book with his pictures and stuff. Do you have an ode to Spock to give us or anything?
You know, I wish that I could say yes, but I do not. Because I didn't feel like I could do a proper ode without having seen all of season 2. And frankly, I didn't have time after seeing the season finale and before this show because FanX. So I'm sorry to say that there is no Spock ode at this time.
Okay.
But there will be.
Okay. Well, maybe we'll just do something different then instead.
Well, Brandy, I knew that you were really busy this week and you would have a hard time finding time to write something. So I actually wrote something this week. If you don't mind, I would like to read it right now.
I would love to hear it.
This is entitled Ode to Brandy. Dearest Brandy, thou darkest queen, thine tallish stature and wit so keen, your sensitivity we admire. To possess your strength, we all aspire. You listen with a friendly ear and state opinions without fear. You don't BS because you know sincerity's the way to go. You speak in multitudes of voices, and when you do, the chat rejoices. By your talents, we are so blessed. Even some dude named Dave's obsessed. The gays from New York to Down Under, becharmed by your exquisite wonder, appreciate your many tears. We feel you, girl, and bid you cheers. Some may think it over-emotional or silly, but you just love feeling feelings like Goddess Tilly. You're honest, vulnerable, so I think it's just fine that you detest the Kelvin timeline. Brandy Jackson, Dracula, Yakula, Jackie, Brandi, Blackula, Bacula. Bruce is so cray, but he loves you a lot. Literary treks. Take a shot. With you on Fridays we belong. We'll pass the tissues and all live long. Dearest Brandy, whom we lean upon, don't ever change and disco on.
Yay! Love it.
You made me sob live, you jerk.
This is the second time I've been called a jerk online. Yes.
You know, I don't mean it that way. That was... Thank you. That was wonderful.
That was great. That was perfect. What a great way to end the season.
And now everybody has to listen to me slurping and snuffling through this whole thing.
Because that's so different.
That's fair. That's fair. Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. Thank you for inviting me on with you guys a couple times.
Yeah, thanks for being on. And that was wonderful. I was starting to tear up myself there. But, gosh, I wish I was feeling better. But anyway, hey, I'm glad I got through the episode with my flu.
Yeah, so. Guys.
Yeah, you did good.
Bruce is a bad A because he is so sick. And you guys don't even know this poor man. And I flat out told him, I don't want to do this without you.
I wasn't going to get this. I was going to do this no matter what. I've been laid up in bed the last couple days, but I got out of bed for this. I even took a shower for this. Not that it really matters.
I think
usually he never showers, you guys.
No, actually, I know what it's like to be so sick that you can't even stand up long enough to take a shower. So, no, I get that. I get that. So, well done, you.
Yeah.
Well, thanks. Well, let's excuse me. See, now I'm coughing. Let's tell everybody where they can find us online. Chris, why don't you start? We'll give Brandy some time to recover there.
Thank you.
Okay. I'm on Twitter and Instagram at CD Littlefield, and I'm also in the Babel conference all the time.
Yes. And I'm on Twitter at Admiral_Rex. And of course, I'm on Literary Treks with Dan Gunther here on the network. And I also am on the Star Wars Report, and I was just at Star Wars Celebration, where that's probably where I got sick, con crud. And so we've got some stuff coming up next Tuesday, Wednesday, I think, on an episode of some recaps on Celebration. But we have some past episodes. We did some live things from Celebration, if you want to go back and listen to that, if you're interested in Star Wars. And of course, I'm always in the Babel Conference. And Brandy? Should we have him do the ode again one more time for
you? No. Do you want me to just, you know, like verbally sob and moan?
I can do it in Klingon.
Great. Let's do it.
No.
Well, you know, normally I'd say you can find me here, but we don't know when season 3 is going to be out and what day that's going to drop on, so I can't really say that. You can, you can hear me on the Dark Corner podcast with my unbelievably wonderful husband, Dave, who puts up with this all of the time and doesn't even hate it. And you can find that at darkcornerpodcast.com. And you can hear me, actually next week, you'll be able to hear me on the Twilight Zone podcast again, where we'll be covering episode 5 of the new Twilight Zone series, Wunderkind. And that one should be interesting. You can find the Twilight Zone podcast at thetwilightzonepodcast.com. And if you like anything Twilight Zone, guys, you should be listening to that podcast. Tom is so great. You know, he can make anyone sound great. So, you know, it's a great show to be on. And I'm in the Babel Conference. You can find me on Twitter at Brandywine12 and at Dark Amy Nose Rockets. I think that's the only places you can find me now. So, yeah, I may have forgotten something. If I did, I'm sure someone will tell me later.
Well, are you up to doing the outro stuff?
Oh, yeah. You know I am, because basically I'm just going to do it as me crying through everything, because I am. So, you know, it's not going to be a really big stretch. So, so guys, I would like to say when Live from the Edge is going to air again, but we don't know yet. But you have been with us every Friday night at 9 p.m. Eastern and 6 p.m. Pacific. So that's been great. And then you can get the commentary as Tracks from the Edge. You can get Postcards from the Edge, which will have all of the listener feedback. and full analysis on The Edge main show, and then, of course, notes from The Edge with our own Chris Jones for links between Discovery and the Broadus franchise. And I just realized I'm going to be saying this for the last time in a while, and it's just really hard, guys. So you'll find all of these in the main feed for The Edge and in the Trek FM master feed. And, of course, we want to hear your thoughts on Discovery. If you haven't already shared them in the chat, you could still share them. You can go to the Babel Conference, and that's the listeners group on Facebook. Amy Nelson's collecting that feedback for postcards. You can find us on Twitter at Trek.fm. Send us an email. Use the contact form on our website at trek.fm/contact. Choose to send to a show and choose The Edge. And then we have our wonderful associate producers that make this show possible. And they are Norman Seelau, Tony Robinson, Thomas Paleo, Lisa Slack, Shoaib Mirza, Richard Rutledge, James Muldrow, Cornelia Reutner, Ryan Millett, Chris Trabuzio, and Brian Malosh. And if you'd like to help us keep all of these shows going, and please let me be able to come back for season 3, you can go to patreon.com/trekfm for all the details.
Wow, that was a really good imitation of Brandy crying.
I know. Wow.
I know. It's like when I'm doing myself, it's just like it's like walking on, you know, walking on water. I'm so good. Sorry. Can't help it, guys. You know that.
Well, the chat's saying they love you, so.
I love you guys.
Yeah. There you go.
You guys have been, we've had such an active chat this season, and I've loved it. Yeah, I've loved all of you showing up week after week on a Friday night to come in and do this with us. You are the best.
You know, when we first started the show in season 1, I remember when the chat was maybe like, what, 4 or 5 people?
Yeah.
And now it's like a whole bunch of people. And I see new people like all the time, too, show up. So.
Yeah, this has been, it's been really amazing to be able to come and talk to you guys on the live podcast and the other podcasts that I've done. It means so much to me personally to be able to share my fandom with other friends and other people who, you know, have lots of feelings about all the things. And, you know, it's really, really, I really appreciate it. You guys are really awesome.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks. We loved having you on, and we hope to have you on again because we hope to have more of these.
Yeah.
Well, there will be. Once season 3 is here, you know we're going to be back.
Or Short Trek.
I mean, Picard.
I don't know yet. Those things are up in the air.
I'm just putting it out there in the universe and see what happens.
Yeah. We don't know. We'll do live shows for everything. Like, so, I don't know. We'll do a live show on Big Bang Theory. I don't know.
No. Let's do some live improv.
We'll do live improv.
Do live improv, except we're not in the same room.
That would be weird.
That could be weird and horrible or great. You never know.
I feel like that's what we've been doing on all these episodes.
Yeah. Oh, I just realized something. If I'm this way that tonight, I'm going to be doing this in front of people tomorrow night at the panel, you guys.
Oh, wow. So if you want to see this live in person.
Yeah. If you're at FanX, guys, then come to room 151D Saturday at 6 p.m. for the panel we're doing, me, Haley Stoddart, and Zachary Frühling on Star Trek Yay. Discovery Season 2. And,
oh, I wish I could be there. That's going to be so cool.
I'm so scared no one's going to show up.
Oh, no. You'll have people show up.
Yeah, I highly doubt that.
I hope so, because it is the only Discovery panel that is happening at the con. So please spread the word. Get some butts in those seats so that I can cry live in front of a bunch of people. Because this will happen. I cannot stop this. I can't. It doesn't. This happens. When I'm talking about the season, that's all there is to it. Buckle in.
Buckle in. It's going to be a wild ride.
Oh, yeah.
All right. So for the last time, I'm trying to milk this right now.
Yeah.
For the last time this season, possibly even this year, I'm going to say the words. Oh, God. I can't do it. I just can't do it. No.
I feel like it's the end of the school year, and it's like everyone's going away, and we're not going to see each other.
Oh, we're going to Disney this summer. Woo!
I'm going to camp.
I'm going to stay home and do chores.
Ooh, that sounds fun. Well, all I'm going to say is I need to go to bed here soon. So,
yes, feel better, please. Yes,
live please. Long and prosper.
And keep calm and disco on. Thanks, you guys. Okay, we're good. Hey, hey. I'm sorry, we're out now.
All right.
Yeah, stop right there.